Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is your host, Fred Shankelberg, and I'm joined again by Kirk Gray. Good day, Kirk.
Good day, Fred. Thank you for having me. I always enjoy talking with you and appreciate your long experience in reliability.
Thanks. One of the things we've talked about over the last couple of shows was it's in this whole series is that we're talking about is for HALT testing, or I call it HALT testing, which I realize is highly accelerated life testing, but that's just the way I phrase it. So HALT. And we've kind of dodged around defining it. And so one of the first steps in that if you, the listener, is looking at exploring HALT or wants to improve your current HALT program or introduce it to your organization, well, let's step back for a moment and actually define it a little bit. Kirk and I have talked in the past, and we've even put in a few papers and articles together about it really needs a better name. It doesn't lend itself to obvious understanding just with highly accelerated life test. We talked about that you can't pass the test. It's not an appropriate concept with this process. It's really looking for where the failures are.
Right. It's a very big shift from traditional testing and the way we've looked at testing as pass and fail.
Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that I don't know whether it's Greg Hobbs, who we often consider as the person that coined the term. There's a handful of other books and references out there. HALT seems to be an acronym that's going to stay with us. Yet, let's define what it is. And so just quickly, and we'll go through each one in a little bit more detail, is it's multi-stresses and a step stress where you're looking for boundaries. And whether it's individual stresses or combined stresses, the intent is to find where the product stops working.
Right. Either an operating or sometimes, and it can be a destruct limit where right. The product is catastrophically will not operate. And the operating limit would be the point at which the product operates, but when you remove or doesn't operate anymore under stress, but when you remove the stress, it comes back to a normal operation.
Right. So the one of the things to keep in mind with anything we do in reliability engineering is that the people using your product or system aren't in a laboratory controlling everything except one stress. They're just using the product. So think of a phone. It's dropped. It's left on a car dashboard. It's in a pocket. It's on a desk. It's buried. It has no cooling. It could be a very wide range of stresses. But most importantly, it's got a lot of all of those stresses applying at once. It's not like we go to the lab and we use our phone only in an altitude chamber. So we adjust the altitude only or we adjust the temperature only. It's going to see temperature in Denver, where you are, Kirk, and it's going to see the lack of rain out here in California and all of the associated, here I'm going to be at the beach and it's going to get sand, where you're going to be off skiing and it's going to get snow.
Right. There's going to be a very wide distribution, an incredibly wide distribution. And it's going to be very difficult to know what that, life cycle stress profile is going to be for any product, especially in the consumer and handheld market. It's who could tell you how many drops it's going to have or where it's going to be dropped in the hot sun after it's been pulled out of a hot car, whatever. Yes, there's no place on earth that a single stress will be acting on the product.
For any length of time. So right. When we consider doing any kind of evaluation of a product for its durability, we almost always limit it to just controlling the stresses. And for accelerated life test, the classic stress to failure type of evaluation, we're usually focusing on a known failure mechanism or a suspected failure mechanism. Where, by contrast, highly accelerated life test is we're trying to discover what fails, what are the failure modes and what are the failure mechanisms, what right. goes wrong.
And this is usually at a system level of some sort. We want to do this in a you know, multiple components interacting together. It's usually not applied on a single individual component.
Right. We although I have seen it done on a crystal, just on the little can crystal we see on circuit boards. We did a halt just on that. It only had a few ways it could fail, yet we were able to show that this novel new attachment method just wasn't going to be robust. Let's go back to what is HALT. So it's generally a step stress. Define that a little bit, Kirk. You mentioned that before.
I would call it an empirical limit discovery step stress test. It is a matter of a controlled, and this is very important, that you're measuring, you're controlling, and you're measuring the response of the product when it's under a stress, increasing stress condition. Generally, typical HALT test in thermal would be each step would be about an increase or decrease. When you're going hot, it'll be an increase of 10 degrees C, 5 to 10 degrees C, and a dwell time enough to be able to run the test process or run a functional operation of the board or system that you're is under test. So that's kind of a basic, but there are many, many different stresses used. There can be voltage, thermal, potential humidity, vibration, and this can be done in a traditional ED shaker even. So there's mm-hmm. lots of different ways to perform this finding operation or destruct limits.
So that's one way to define it, is that we're going to and it's one of the things we use as preparing for a HALT, and we'll talk about creating a HALT plan or selecting the stresses in a different show. For here, though, it's we're going to take a set of stresses, and it may be one, it may be many, that are relevant for what we want to explore with a particular product. And we're going to start generally at a reasonable amount of stress and then increase that. So we might increase in temperature until the product shuts down or it stops operating well. So the product is operating and we have some way to tell if it's working or not. In some cases, and you've probably done this too, Kirk, is you have somebody watching it through the window looking for the lights or the screen to go dark, and that's your indication. More likely, we try to put some diagnostics on it or we put remote sensoring on it, all kinds of techniques to get at it. That the basic idea is that you increase the stress, whichever it is, until you see something not work quite right. And that's what you're calling, Kirk, is a operating limit.
Right. And that may be defined. I mean, it may be required that that's defined, as you may have, say, I've done audio amplifiers that are analog and they just decline in their amplification. They don't actually quit amplifying, but they have a sharp curve of amplification degradation. And so you may have to define a point that you say this is a failure, mm-hmm. but that also that decline in operation is another piece of data point that you could also use to compare from sample to sample and see that all of your products have the same response in their decline in operation. Right. You might have an exception and of course the exception is the golden ticket. When you find a product, you're testing three or five samples, and one of them is operating limit is 10 or 20 degrees below the other unit's operating limit, then you've got a golden opportunity to explore that one further and find out why it's not as good as the rest.
Right. And we're dealing with assembled products in some form or fashion. So it could be supplier issues, the components themselves. It could be the manufacturing process. And it could be design. And so we gather this information in, as clues. And that's one way to – another way to define HALT is that it's a process to find these weaknesses. Now, where it fails, right, if it's only a few degrees above your specification, well, remember back to how customers use it. They, I don't know, when was the last time you read a operating manual for something for your phone? I don't even think cell phones come with manuals anymore.
No, and I doubt very many people know what their operating specifications are, environmental limits or specifications for their phone are, they wouldn't really care.
That's right. That's right. Now, in some cases, we do want – it's critical to our business and other reasons, and we're being a little bit facetious. But the notion is that the product is going to see what it sees, and it's going to be variable. And even with a handful of samples, if we find that the operating limit is just barely above where we expect customers to use the product, well, that sets of – there's a priority on understanding how can we make it more robust. Now, there was another a concept here that we probably should mention is the theoretical limit. Right.
So fundamental limit of technology.
Yes. Yeah. So if I'm, you know, increasing temperature for my phone, and we know it's got CMOS technology in there, and I get up to, I'm at 120 degrees C, and now it fails. That's the first failure related to temperature that occurs. Now, a little bit of experience in reliability, you know that CMOS technology rapidly degrades at about 120 degrees C, 25 C. It basically destroys the PN junctions at the chemical level. It has a unique failure mechanism that occurs there. So if I'm running the product and I'm getting up into the realm where I'm invoking a different failure mechanism that has no accumulation of damage at lower temperatures, then my only solution is to use a completely different technology. I'd have to go to gallium arsenide type chips, which run at much higher temperatures, right? Or the other example I've often heard is the plastic. If your first failure is that the plastic melts.
Right, that's not a relevant failure. And it's just like if solder reflows, Fred, and there might be an exception.
Right.
But yes, those would be irrelevant. And that would be a fundamental limit of technology that you can't exceed, like an LCD temperature that an LCD can display. There are certain limits to that chemistry that don't allow the technology to be used in certain. But there are displays that also can be have a wide range of operating temperatures. So they have addressed some of that.
That's right. So we've thrown out a lot of terms and concepts here. Hopefully you're let me summarize it real quick and then we'll wrap the show up. Is what is HALT? It's a process to understand where the weaknesses are in your product and reveal failures. And we use multi stresses and increase those stresses until we reveal those problems. So it's an exploratory process. Sometimes we combine stresses, and that may reveal areas that you need both temperature and humidity in some cases, for example, to create certain types of corrosion. So combined stresses can reveal additional ones. And keep in mind that customers use it in a combined stress environment. And then we've got a couple of terms. Operating limits, which is it stops working. When you remove the stress, it comes back. So it's not it doesn't break anything fundamentally. It can
not
recover.
Catastrophic.
Not catastrophic, good term. Or you physically break something. Something comes apart or opens or delaminates or ceases to function. And that's a destruct limit. And then there's also this fundamental limit of technology. In some kind, ideally, you design a product and the very first failure you have is that the solder melts or the plastic deforms or whatever, but the only real solution for that is to change the materials. But it's still important to know where that occurs because it's relative to how you expect your customers to use it.
And it is very important too, Fred, from the fan standpoint of it, also benchmarks what the capability of a good product is. Mm-hmm. You find the total strength. And from that strength, I know this is a whole different subject, but from the strength, we can start a very, very highly effective screen called a HASS. And that's, of course, for another podcast.
Yep, definitely. All right. Well, let's wrap it up for today. Hopefully you get this gives you just a glimpse or a little bit better understanding of what is HALT. And we're going to talk about many of the different aspects of HALT and improving your product as we go forward with this show. So thanks again for listening. And thanks, Kirk.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks.
Right, no problem. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.